Our beloved Father in heaven, for the opportunity we have to come to this thy house, we thank thee. For the opportunity we have to worship thee, we thank thee. For the blessings and the song and the singing of hymns and prayers which have been offered both audibly and silently, we thank thee for it. And now, O Lord, we come to thee and ask thee to be with us as we gather together to worship and the preaching and hearing of thy word, that thy spirit might be with us, that thy servant may preach thy word, and thy people may hear and understand. Above all, it would be to thy praise and glory, and then to the good and edification of thy people. Bless those who've asked an interest in prayer and all for whom we should pray, and we ask thee to forgive us of our sins. And all this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite your attention this morning to the Gospel according to John, and I will read from chapter 13 and verse 34. Again, the Gospel according to John, chapter 13 and verse 34. And this verse of Scripture reads, this is Jesus speaking to his apostles, and he said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. And I trust the Lord will bless us as we consider this passage of Scripture and some related verses or passages of Scripture. Now, there's a significance in every passage of Scripture, I suppose you might say, and there's certainly significance where this verse of Scripture is written in the Scripture, that is, in the context. First of all, it's in the Gospel according to John. And the Gospel according to John is the predominant theme, rather, of the Gospel according to John is the deity of Jesus Christ. And the reason that the Gospel according to John is different from the other Gospel records, that is, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, is because, generally speaking, while they all had different subjects, the three of those presented Christ in one way or another as a man. And those three are called the synoptic gospels because they are similar one to another. But the gospel according to John is different because this gospel record, or rather in this gospel record, the predominant theme of Jesus is that he is the Son of God. All right, now with that in mind, notice the expression where Jesus said, as I have loved you. So since this is referring to Jesus Christ as divine, then we can say that love is indeed divine. And to be godly is to love, or to love is to be godly. Well, and both of those are certainly true there. And to see this, look with me to the book of 1 John, the first epistle of John, chapter 4 and verse 8. Again, the first epistle of John, chapter 4 and verse 8. And this verse of Scripture reads, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Alright, so the first of all says he that if we don't love, that's me, you, anyone else, but if we don't love, we don't know God. That doesn't mean we're not a child of God, but just simply we don't know God. Alright, but then he says, for God is love. So the idea there is love is a divine attribute. Now, in the Gospel according to John, the predominant subject in John is eternal or everlasting life. I looked in my study over and looked in my sources that I have concordance on the computer, and I looked up the word eternal, and then the word everlasting. And I found out that is what I have that's in the four Gospel records, and then the Acts. But then I found out that the more times those words, each of those words, are used slightly more in the Gospel according to John than they are in the other four books. That is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Acts. And so that's the predominant subject there. That is everlasting life. All right? And that is how we can experience the joy of the spiritual life or the everlasting or eternal life that is within us. Now, we cannot do anything to get life. I think you know it. We cannot do anything to get life. And yet at the same time, we can do something to experience the joy of our eternal life. And God blesses us when we are faithful and when we love Him and when we love our neighbors or one another. Now, the specific context in this verse of Scripture is important. I give you a couple of things that is in the context of it being in the Gospel according to John. But the specific context is important. The time and listeners in any lesson is important. Jesus, obviously, was speaking, and he was speaking to his apostles. Now, think about this. This is in the 13th chapter of the Gospel according to John, and in the very beginning of the 13th chapter, we see that Jesus washed their feet. All right, so that is in that context. All right, those closest to Jesus knew the command to love one another. And Jesus talked this three times in his message to them. Now this is in the text, and then John chapter 15, verse 12, and then John chapter 15 and verse 17. This was the feet washing was over, and then in John chapter 14, 15, and 16, we find Jesus' message to his apostles. Judas had already left, so the 11 that were there. Jesus impressed upon them the commandment to love. Love is not something that comes automatically with any of us. You're loving people. I know that, and yet at the same time, I know, I can say by experience, regretfully, that love is not something that comes automatically. That is, it's because we have a fleshly nature. All right? The fruit of the Spirit is love. That's found in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. But then, a work of the flesh is hatred. And the works of the flesh are found in Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21. And hatred is one of those works of the flesh. Now, I think you can figure out without me telling you, but I'll tell you anyway, that hatred and love are the opposite one of another. But we are to love. That is, we have crucified this fleshly nature that we have and manifest love in our lives. Alright? As Jesus has loved us. Now, Jesus said in this way, he said, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you love one another. Alright? Now, I want to point out something, a grammar lesson here. Grammar is very important. The last 10 years, maybe a little more, I've really seen the importance of the grammar that's found here in the Word of God. That is, the way words are used tell us something a little bit different. Jesus said, and I'll paraphrase what he said. He said this, as I have loved you, or as Jesus has loved us. Or when he said, I have loved you, that didn't mean he loved them. You know, if he says, as I love you, well, I loved you before, but maybe I don't love you now. Maybe I won't love you in the future. But when Jesus said, as I have loved you, that means he keeps one of two things. One, he keeps on doing it. Or the second one, it remains effective. Now, I would tend to think it's not either one of those, but I'd rather both of them. Jesus kept on loving them, and the love that Jesus had for them remained effective in their lives there. And so when we look at that, when we look at some of these, some of the words I'll say, some of the words from the Scriptures, I want you to remember those two definitions in mind. When Jesus said, as I have loved you, the idea there, he keeps on doing it, and it remains effective. The greatest subject in the Word of God is that Jesus has loved us. And I'm pointing out has. And when I point it out, I think you understand why I'm doing it and what it means. The predominant subject is found here in the Word of God. The love that Jesus has for us is the predominant subject that's found here in the Word of God. In fact, let me put it to you that way. It is the greatest all subjects, whether it's in the Scriptures or whether it's not the Scriptures, it's the greatest subject in this world, period, about Jesus Christ has loved us. All right? How has Jesus loved us? Well, one of the things is, Jesus has left us in humility. And remember again, I told you earlier that the commandment, this commandment, and I said, John 13 and verse 34, is in the context of Jesus is watching his disciples speak. That is, Jesus put them before himself. Jesus humbled himself before them. Now, we could say feet washing represents a number of things, and we would be right. There are a number of things it represents. And yet, it's one of the things that it represents is humility. Jesus humbled himself before his disciples. The Master humbled himself before his servants. Now, that's an amazing thing. But that's from Jesus. The love of Jesus is a love of humility. Now, another way that Jesus loved us is that he has loved us in spite of what we are. Now, Jesus doesn't love us for what we are. I know if we live here in this world, sometimes if we're faithful to him, he'll bless us. He'll give us blessings in doing that. And yet, he still doesn't love us for what we are. Jesus loved us in spite of what we are. To see this, turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 5 and verse 10. Again, the book of Romans, chapter 5 and verse 10. And this verse of scripture reads, For if, when we were enemies, let's stop right there. Let's read that again. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more, being reconciled, we should be saved by his life. That is, there was nothing within us to cause Jesus to love us. He loved us in spite of what we were. He loved us in spite of the fact that we were enemies to him. Now, the way we're enemies to him can be described is, I mentioned earlier, the works of the flesh, all of those contrary to the ways of God, and that's what we were, period. And so God reached down and touched our lives and gave us another nature. Regretfully, we still have all those things within us, but we have some other things that are in us that are far better, and that is the 9 qualities of the fruit of the Spirit that are found in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. And the first one, by the way, is love. The first one is love. And that we need to remember that Jesus loved us in spite of what we were and are, just for the record. Now, Jesus has loved us with an everlasting love. Look at Romans 5 again. And this time, verses 20 and 21. Again, Romans 5, verses 20 and 21. And these two verses read, Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see, my brothers and sisters, Jesus loves us, Jesus loves us, and Jesus will love us with an eternal life, because we have eternal life within us, and we'll experience the fullness of it someday, as you know. Alright, Jesus has loved us also with a self-sacrificing love. That's amazing. Jesus loves us with a self-sacrificing love. You're familiar with John chapter 15, the gospel according to John, that is chapter 15 and verse 13. And in that passage of scripture, in that verse of scripture, Jesus says, Greater love hath no man than a man lay down his life for his friend. That's what Jesus did for us. That's the self-sacrificing love that Jesus had. And another verse of scripture I thought of, you may remember that Jesus uttered 7 sayings while he was there on the cross of Calvary. And the first of those sayings was, when there were people, well, they hadn't started that time according to the scripture record, but then later on they were mocking him and making fun of him and all these things, and that everything he said was just a sham and nothing he said was any good. And his words were, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. By the way, that's in Luke chapter 23 and verse 34. And that's the love of Jesus, the self-sacrificing love of Jesus. Jesus sacrifices to minister to others. Look in Luke chapter 9 and verse 58. Again, it's Luke chapter 9 and verse 58. And this verse of Scripture reads, "And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." The idea there was even to minister and to serve others and preach the Word of God. Again, Jesus lived a self-sacrificing kind of life. Now, those are some of the things about Jesus. That is, it's a love and humility. It's a love. He loved us in spite of what we were and are. And he loved us with an everlasting love, a self-sacrificing love, and even to minister to others. All right? We are to love others as Jesus has loved us. Again, we are to love one another as Jesus has loved us. We are to humble ourselves before others. You're aware that Jesus washed his feet, and I mentioned that a few moments ago, and we all do the same. And I believe here at Flint River and most of the Primitive Baptist churches, they practice not only the keeping of the Lord's Supper, but at the end of that, after that part's over, then the washing of the saints' feet. And we do well to do that, just for the record. We ought to do the same as Jesus did. Now, but that's not the only time we're to humble ourselves before others. Look, if you will, in Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. Again, the book of Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. And this verse of Scripture reads, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another." Now that's what Jesus did. As we've seen already, that's what Jesus did. He put his disciples, those for whom he died, he put them before himself. Now, that's the love of Jesus. That's the way we're to love one another, brothers and sisters. That is, in honor, preferring one another. That is to say, I'm very affectionate. That is, well, let me go back and read that. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. The idea of we're to be affectionate one to another. And I mean by that that we show affection. What I mean by that, there's a variety of ways that can be done, but to be glad to see one another and show one another that we are indeed glad to see one another. And let them know that we love them in a variety of ways. When we greet them here, in whatever case we may be when we see them, let them know that we love them. We are prefer others, humble ourselves before others. Now, we are to love each other in spite of what we are. Now, remember what Jesus said, as I have loved you, that you love one another. And Jesus, our Master, loves us in spite of what we are. Now, and there's nothing, now we think, well, I can't love that individual, and so forth. There's something about him. There's something about her. And I don't know who that might be, and y'all might know someone like that, but there's someone, there's certain people that say, well, it's difficult to love. And I'll admit that there are people that are difficult to love. Yet at the same time, if I understand the Scriptures correctly, when I come in contact with someone, I'm to show love to that person, regardless of how they treat me. That's what I'm supposed to do. But especially those of us here in the household of faith, we are to love one another in spite of what we are. We all have our faults and whatever, but we love one another because, listen, what is it about us, I imagine? Because Jesus will love us. Right there, what there is, nothing. Other than the fact that what Jesus loved us because he knew what he could do to us, for us, in us, and whatever. That is what we would be after he got through with us by his amazing grace. Now, and I remind you again that Jesus loved us in spite of what we are, and we love others in spite of what others may be. Our love, by the way, as Jesus, is to be a self-sacrificing kind of love. Jesus had not made the supreme sacrifice at that time, but it was just as good as done. Look with me, John chapter 12. It's a very beautiful verse of scripture. The gospel according to John chapter 12 and verses 23 and 24. And these two verses read, "And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." And so in this expression of Scripture, we refer to the planting of a seed of wheat, or a grain of wheat, and then it rising up, and then it maturing on the top there, on the head of the grain, and then it's very much like the one that died. The idea there is to refer to the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the resurrection of the dead at the time of the resurrection. And then Jesus spoke this in verse 27 of John chapter 12, and he said, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour." The idea there is that the supreme sacrifice had not been made, but it was just as good as none. There's a hymn in our hymnal, "Long ere the sun began his days, nor moon shot forth her silver rays, salvation scheme was fixed was done in covenant by the three in one." That is, Jesus, even before the world began, was as good as slain. Was slain then, because if he had been slain then, he would not have, there would be no need for him to have been slain while he walked among men. But he was as good as slain then. The idea there is Jesus, again, loved us with that self-satisfying love. Now, there are plenty of ways we can sacrifice to love one another. One of the things is we can visit. We can visit in homes. We can visit in hospitals. We can visit in nursing homes. Those are ways that we can do. Sometimes maybe we may not be able to make a personal contact, that is, an in-person visit on any of those. And yet some of those, we can make phone calls just to let people know that we're praying for them and we love them. That's one of the ways we can love one another as Jesus has loved us. We can give a kind word, sympathy, and exhortation. I remember, I think of this young lady every once in a while. Some of you may remember the name, whether they ever preached here or not, Elder Walter Gibbs, who's now with the Lord, has an older brother, Brother Wayne has an older brother, Elder Walter Gibbs, who preached with us for a while. As far as I know, still is, but doesn't preach for us anymore. But they had a sister, whose name was Melba, and she was a sickly young lady. And right after the death in 72, when my name was put in the Banner Herald that I was available for supplies, I got a card from her. And I said, well, I didn't know people sent cards for things like that. And she said if she was thankful the Lord was still calling men in the ministry. Well, I was all about that. Hers was the only card I got. But she had a gift of sending cards to people who were sick and for other things like that. Now, that was her ministry. That was a blessing to her and others, no doubt. But listen, that's one of the ways. Those are some of the ways we can show love to others. Now, what is love? Well, love is a number of things, but love is the evidence of true discipleship. That's right. Love is the evidence of true discipleship. That is, it is not the good works that we do all together, but it is if we do those good works in love. It is not how much money we give, and I don't know what any of you give or anything like that, but whatever we give, we're to give that in love. Look what Jesus said in John chapter 13 and verse 35. John 13 and verse 35, he says, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." That is, if they love one another and others as Jesus had loved them, then they'll know that you are indeed my disciples. How would they know that they were indeed his disciples? Well, remember I read from 1 John chapter 4, I believe it was, that at the end of that verse, God is love. Alright, if we love others, then we're manifesting a nature of God in our lives. And so people can say then that we are indeed disciples of the Lord. Now, notice the way this is written here. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Alright? Now, if ye have love. To me, that's a little bit different way of expressing it, but the word have is from a Greek word that you'll recognize maybe in the Greek spelling that I have anyway in my sources, but it's the word echo. The word echo. Now, you know what echo means, and you don't need me to tell that. If you have love one to another. I remember and when we were at Macedonia Church in Ida, Alabama, I substitute taught, and there was one class I was in without going into details why I was there, and this particular lady put notes or sayings or proverbs or whatever on the quotes on the board every morning. And it says, love is the answer, both to the ones who get it and both to the ones who receive it. Now, what does that mean? Well, to me it meant, anyway, that is, love is the answer. That is, we are to be recipients and givers of love. And so if we are recipients and givers of love, let me rephrase that. If we are givers and recipients of love, then we're reflecting that. We're bouncing the love off one to another. If we have love one for another, it is important, again, brothers and sisters, that we have love one to another. All right? We need to remember that we can receive great blessings in following the Lord's commands. And this one is no different. Look with me, if you will, to the Gospel according to John chapter 16 and verse 33. Again, John 16 and verse 33. And Jesus said here, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace, and the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Now listen, brothers and sisters, Jesus said that if we keep his commandments, we will be blessed. And one of the things that God will bless us with is peace. That doesn't mean everything will always be right in our lives. That doesn't mean we won't have troubles in our lives. That doesn't mean we won't have any kind of crisis in our lives. But in the midst of those trials and tribulations, we can have what the Scripture calls a peace which passes understanding to help us and to carry us during those times. Well, that is, blessing us to know that regardless of what circumstances may be in our lives, the Lord will indeed be with us. Peace is something that we all love. And one of the ways we can experience God's peace is to love one another as Jesus has loved us. And so, my brothers and sisters, may the Lord bless us to love one another as Jesus has loved us, is my prayer for Christ's sake.